Welcome back to Caffeine Confessionals. My name is Alan Aguirre, and today we're here to talk about the Challenge All-Stars Season 4, Episode 5. I'm joined by my lovely co-host. We have the Vermontian Zoe Trimboli.
Hi, everyone.
The Southern Luke Muncy.
What's up, guys?
All-Stars keeps on rolling. It's another good week of television. I mean, again, we say it every week. It's just easy watching. It just puts us in a good mood, and then we come back here to talk to you guys.
Yeah, it's like this was my first time watching this episode. You've heard me say it was leaked, and I watched it like a bad Challenge fan, but it was just as good the second time.
Yeah, I want to know who at Paramount got fired over that, because that was really interesting.
Well, their CEO got fired like Tuesday, so, or Monday.
I don't think that they probably had hands on All-Stars 4, but.
No, that was the last straw. That was the last, they're like, you leaked the episode, you're out, you're done.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far.
It's just good to have too. We're not gonna talk about other Challenge spoilers, but it's just like the Challenge feels like it's in full swing because you have a season that's filming, you got a season airing, and you got speculation for future seasons going on right now. And I don't know, it's a good time to be a Challenge fan, maybe. I mean, unless you're upset about spoilers.
Well, you could just be like me and mute every Challenge related term that could possibly come across your Twitter feed. Like, I recently like muted the terms final and eliminated, like all the versions of those things.
Smart. And this is such a huge sidetrack, I'm sorry, but I was thinking about when we record for season 40, how cool it's going to be to get Zoe's genuine reactions to all the things. So yeah, go spoiler free if you can. I can't because I have a sick obsession, but I'm happy that Zoe is.
Yeah, it's only because I have everything muted. I don't even really think about it that much until like one of these guys will say something's happened and I'm like, oh yeah, how many people are left? That's the only thing I ever ask. How many people are still in the game?
Yeah.
And if you're listening at home, we're not talking about spoilers on this show at all. We're just acknowledging they exist. They do exist. We're only going to talk about what happened in episode 5 today, which is what we just watched. Let's just jump right into it. Coming back from last week's episode, Carmaria won the elimination, which, not a spoiler, we watched last week, but comes back from the elimination, and she's irate. I mean, she's upset with the house, and this is more of a thing that goes on throughout the episode where she's kind of calling out Brandon. She's calling out Leroy and Cam, and she's like, you guys are just making up excuses for why you threw me in when really you're just threatened by me.
She took it upon herself, like any millennial woman, to quote Pretty Woman, although she didn't know the name of the movie, which is so Kara, actually.
Is Kara a millennial? I guess so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the age range, but she's just, like, she might put her fake accent on sometimes. She might be mopey sometimes, but she's always going to be her. She has that undeniable trait about herself that's just odd.
And the way her Boston accent comes out more when she's angry.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God her cousin's not on this season because it would be real bad.
Right.
I gotta say, I actually agree with Kara when she said that like people are just coming up with ideas for why they threw her in. And like when Brandon says they haven't talked in 8 years, that's completely true. But it's like, Brandon, just say like you are in confessionals. You're threatened by her in a final, which I think that's all Kara wants.
You could tell that Jasmine and Brandon were wrong because they were so desperately seeking validation from each other in that conversation. Like when I was watching them talk to each other, I was like, oh, they just sought out a yes man to make each other feel better about what's going on right now. At least Brandon like kind of owned it. And he's like, I am scared of her. I don't want to deal with her. Like, I appreciate that. And I think he is realizing the error of his ways.
Yeah, and for him to say that, if you think of the last 8 years of Kara versus the last 8 years of life he's lived, what would they talk about? Like, sure, she could be like, hey, you got married, hey, you had a kid. But, like, beyond that, would there really be a need to keep the friendship going? I agree with Zoe. I wish he just would have said, Kara, I'm scared of you. Because I think that is exactly what she wants. She wants to hear that she's a good competitor because she knows she is, but no one will ever say it to her.
No, not some silly guilt trip. which I'm sure that you don't give half that energy to any of these guys on this cast that you consider friends who don't stay in touch with you over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, if every person I'm friends with who I wasn't in contact with them for every milestone, whether it be positive or negative, like, wrote me off as a friend because of it, I wouldn't have many friends. Like, that stuff happens.
I will say, and it was something I thought of going into the season, like this season that was about to air, I've been covering the challenge for so long, like literally like since 2017. And I remember I would do my social media research and I would go through Kara's like Instagram and like her social posts. And she would be hanging out with Brandon like in person. Like they were actually very close, real friends as late as like maybe 2015, 2016. And so coming into this season, because I don't realize how much time has passed, I thought they would just be just as close. But again, it's been 8 years and that's how long it is, because they were actual friends outside the show and then they just kind of weren't and aren't now.
She also moved to Montana, right? Like, I'm not sure about the timeline of that, but she like was in a dark relationship for a while, living in the middle of nowhere, and then in another sort of dark relationship, and now in a debatable relationship. Which she is very fond of, but so like, yeah, that happens.
I do think they're like, just based off social media posts, I think they're actually probably okay now, which I think is cool.
Great. So, happy for them. Happy for anybody that's happy and healthy. Happy and healthy.
Not Kara and Polly. I'm talking about Brandon and Kara.
Oh, never mind. Then okay, good.
It's so funny, Zoe didn't even say who she was talking about and I knew exactly what she thought. Yeah, Kara and Brandon seem to be happy now, but I mean, it is a good excuse to use, but it is an excuse at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is.
Now, what do you guys think of the, do you guys have any new thoughts on Kara versus Cam, as we've been talking about it week to week?
Can we go ahead and talk about when she talks to Leroy? Like, is this where we're at?
Yeah.
So she talks to Leroy, which I thought was cool, and just explained, like, I feel thrown under the bus. I can't really believe that just one vote that I would make would send her into this spiral, to which he says, you know what, she's in the back room. You should probably go talk to her. And I really feel like he had full intentions of mending things. I think had Kara gone there and there not been other people in the room, it would have went a different direction. But it went south quickly. And I do want to say, I'm talking about things that are alleged and we didn't see happen on the show. Cam says to Kara, you didn't stand with me. And Kara is very quick to saying, I knew you were going to go there. To me, this reads like maybe this is some of that Ayana aftermath happening as well, where some things might have been said that Cam wasn't happy with and really wanted Kara to show solidarity. And Kara said, you are going to take it there, which possibly fair. But, like, this is where I think we're missing part of the story, because that doesn't make sense for Kara to just say, I knew you were going to take it there. Take it where? If we don't have the context of where is.
Yeah, because if that vote to Cam was more symbolic about Kara having her back on something that really bothered her or really offended her, then I understand more where she's coming from. And I think that that's where editing can kind of make this look a certain way. Because even knowing like some of the background info that I think that I know about things that were said allegedly, I'm watching it being like, Kara's right here. Like, she's not wrong in this argument between the two of them. And even when Leroy goes in trying to mediate and Leroy says verbatim, they're both right. That's what I was like, that's how you probably know Kara's right, because he's always going to say Cam's right, like, especially to the cameras. He might not say that to her, but he will say it to the cameras. But I'm glad you brought that up, Luke, because I think that Cam's going to get, like, the losing side of this edit, because it just comes across really emotional, but we don't know what that vote actually meant to her on a deeper level.
Oh, so the way you framed it, Luke, as well, like at the beginning where Leroy's trying to hope, you know, maybe to mediate them, to set them up, to talking to Kara. I think there is also a part of Leroy who just doesn't want Kara as an enemy in this situation as well, where he's like, well, look, I'm okay with Cam targeting Kara, but I don't want her coming for me either. And I think he was just hoping, you know, to at least keep himself out of the crosshairs, which didn't really work.
No.
Not at all.
I will say I'm a little tired already of the Cam Carr thing. And it's not that I wouldn't enjoy this if there were other things happening, but it seems like at this point this has been like the main focus the last three episodes. And if it's not going to rear its head anytime soon, I'm ready for some different storylines maybe. Not that I dislike either of them. I love them both. But I don't like to see this argument play out over one vote.
Well, I mean, Cam Cara, Nicole Laurel, the show is already feeling very repetitive at this point. I mean, I've been enjoying All Stars 5 a lot, but within these episodes, it's just been very repetitive storylines. There are people like Flora, Ace, Ryan, Derek. I'm not saying that I need more of them on my TV, but they exist on this show. They don't have storylines for a reason, but also just there's so many people on the show who I completely forget are there right now, which has not been typical with these All-Star seasons.
And random side note, I don't know why I like the random Adam Larson content, but like even Leroy, like since we're talking about Leroy, him cutting his hair and them just having a conversation was so just like real, and he seems like such a cool guy. That is one person who has not done much as far as the game goes, but like I feel like he's been a pretty prevalent character on these episodes.
He's just so endearing. Like he's so genuinely sweet, it seems, while still like competing hard and trying. But yeah, that moment between him and Leroy was like just so sweet. Him just like singing Leroy's praises and just feeling like it seemed like feeling so genuinely grateful that he was getting to know him. That's one of the beautiful things I think about these All-Star seasons is we just get to see these people in more human moments too.
Yeah, and I think it's cool to see people who are on shows eons ago that have kept up with the show, have still watched season after season, and like he probably knew Leroy, whereas Leroy didn't maybe know him. And like he gets to now live and meet this person and like interact with them. And it's something they probably he has watched as a fan since his time on the show concluded. I think that's like the beauty of All Stars. We get this really cool mesh of personalities, eras. It's really cool.
Luke, I need to tell you, Adam did not watch the show when he was gone.
Well, I'm going to say that, just kidding.
No. Because he lost to Derek on his elimination of the Gauntlet 2, where he was challenged trivia. And he's like, oh, I don't watch the show. I don't watch it. Like, he was like gone for a reason. And that's why I thought the scene was so cool, because you have these two players, completely different eras. And I would say Cam is from a different era from them as well. So you have three eras right there, just kind of mixing it up. And he's just like, oh, you guys are cool people. Like, it's just they're all together in All Stars. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
We then got Leroy, you know, as he's cutting Adam's hair, he begins to talk about his experience as a father. And who wants to take it from here?
I mean, Leroy talks about a lot of things during this time when he's cutting Adam's hair. He just, like, first, just his experience of being a dad and his, that he opens up about going to therapy and just his relationship with Cam. But specifically, he mentions that he was suffering from postpartum depression, which, as someone that's, like, pretty passionate about things that afflict women, I truly had no idea that men could have postpartum depression, which is so ignorant on my part, but I just never thought that they could. And so that actually made me do some research into it to like read up on it. But how brave and beautiful that he was willing to talk about that period, but also talk about it on camera. And I think that's such a testament to how much he has grown and what kind of man and father he is for Cam and for his children, because a man that's willing to acknowledge his feelings and talk about things that are uncomfortable is someone that's going to be a great family man. And I just thought it was really beautiful and brave.
Yeah, I agree. And I loved hearing Cam say like she was so proud that he told her, and like they have that bond, which, you know, they should have, but like it's so deep that he could be so vulnerable when maybe he thought that she was also possibly experiencing similar things, but he still needed to vocalize it to her, and that she supported him. I think they're like the best couple the challenge currently has. It's not really saying much, but
she's she's been amazing for him. And it's one of those things that, like, it makes sense when you think of Leroy on the challenge. He was on the show for, like, a literal decade, where he was the same guy for a decade. He worked as a bartender at Planet Hollywood. He maybe had a girlfriend at times, maybe didn't, just was always the cool, just did his stuff, stayed out of the way, lived a very safe life, enjoyed his time on the show. And in the last 5 years, he's moved to Texas, you know, got in with Cam. They have a baby. He got his barber's license. He's just completely changed who he is in the last 5 years, and the growth has been beautiful to see. But also, like, that's a lot of dramatic changes for a human to deal with. And I got a lot of respect for Leroy. I think he's just an absolute badass human, and I don't know, it's beautiful to see it all.
I think it's important too, like, you know, Leroy is like a universally loved person on this show. And if just one man watching it can see that they can talk about their feelings, that they can go to therapy, that they might be suffering from something like postpartum depression because this man owned it and talked about it on TV like that and took the stigma away from it, that's amazing.
Yeah, no notes, because that you hit the nail on the head. I think it was a beautiful moment.
A lot of love for Leroy. Let's move on to the daily challenge. Let's go from that very serious topic to talking about people wearing giant canisters with their own head on it as they ran around. Explain the daily challenge itself is like a little bit. There's a lot of steps to it.
Let me try. Okay, maybe I never do this well. I'm gonna try. They have these large heads on. They're theirs. They run up a hill to the very top of the hill. TJ goes down to then go to the bottom and release levers on these containers holding liquid. In the meantime, they have to ride down on little, I think, it's gym called, class.
It's called bobblehead bobsled, for what it's worth.
Thank you. They're bobsledding, but like on those like little gym class scooter things. And they have to grab bags of water, liquid on the way down, and they can fill it up and keep adding to it. And when everybody's down and has put all their liquid in, they can pull the lever and stop it. And whoever has lost the least amount of water in the shortest amount of time wins.
Yeah.
It's
liquids per second. So it's ounces per second at the end. So
yeah,
more ounces divided over less time, that means you're going to be the winner. Does that make sense?
No. And that's why I butchered that. But you know what? I will say I really liked this challenge because it had some athleticism. It had some funny moments. It had some strategy, as we saw, and I wasn't expecting much strategy. So I was happy with this daily.
I like the callbacks to old challenges. That's just what All-Star should always be this. We're going to take this old challenge that was popular or even controversial, something silly, something fun, something you don't have to be like a CrossFit junkie to do. And we're going to put these people through it, some of them for the second time. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
It was so fun. And I did like that because it was liquid per seconds or however it was. There were multiple strategies, and then like at the end we didn't really know who won until TJ gave us the results. Like there were multiple ways you could play this daily challenge, which I think is it's a fun twist to the show.
Yeah, I even after watching it and seeing who won, also because of editing, I was like, I don't really know what the best strategy was. Right.
The players' commentary was very key in this one in telling you how well people were doing, because at times I was kind of like, I have no idea if they're doing good or bad. Which I'm going to do it. We do know one person did really bad.
Poor Brad, man. That was just not fair. They went first. I couldn't understand. I'm watching Nicole harp on him over and over again. I was like, he gets it. He fucked up. It's a guy's day. Shut up.
Right. It's just so funny to me because in our preview before the season, we were saying like, we're going to expect nothing out of Brad but to be the top performing male. And there have been the past 2 weeks, he's like messed up the daily for his team. Again, he did have to go first, which is such an unfair disadvantage. But yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, his team was himself, Leroy, Nicole, and Jasmine. Brad was just going full speed racer, just trying to grab him. He couldn't see, and it was just, it was a mess of a situation. And he's having a bad time. Nicole's yelling at him. Even Leroy's pissed. Like, Leroy said, I'm usually pretty calm in these daily challenges. And he's like, but he's just cursing out Brad as they're doing the challenge. Like, man, how did you ruin this for us? Brad.
I think Leroy also had the weight of, I haven't won yet, and I'm looking really bad on him. So I think he would have been annoyed, but I think if he'd won in a previous week or two, he wouldn't have been quite as pissed. But I think he's just feeling that weight on him right now and feeling like he's not holding up his half of the team with him and Cam.
The other players were also just frustrated that Brad, when he was missing, was literally knocking down everything, every canister, so they didn't even get an attempt to grab them themselves because Brad was just knocking them all out and missing them.
The definition of all gas, no brakes.
There's something amazing about Brad where he can do daily challenges. Like, there was the one last season on All-Stars 3 where they all had to wakeboard and then they had to do that stacking puzzle. And Brad was just like a wakeboarding expert. He just did the puzzle with like complete ease. And you're like, wow, this guy is just one of the best competitors I've ever seen. And then you watch an episode like this today and you're like, who the fuck is this guy?
He's just the guy with the bobblehead at the front of the line.
Honestly, yeah.
I would be really curious if Nicole had been in his spot, if she would have done any better, because I could see her doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, that first group was doomed just because I would have known what to do.
I do think he gave the rest of the groups after them like a little like lesson in what not to do. Like, they had to be a lot more careful when going to grab those bags. We don't have to talk about Brad anymore. Nicole did enough. I felt bad for him.
After them, we saw a team of, I believe it was it Brandon, Ryan, Laurel, Flora, and Avery went next?
Beats me, but we can talk about them.
I think they were third. I think it was Cam, Tina, Derek, Keeflin, Steve next.
That team went. Just throw out some low lights. We're gonna group them together. Both in Tina and Veronica's runs, which very generous to call them runs. They were gassed up just running up the hill. Because, I mean, Zoe was saying, like, oh, give us these fun, comical daily challenges that, like, anyone can do. I mean, just from this fun, comical daily challenge, Tina and Ronka have proven they are just, like, you got to get them a star for the final right now.
But what a testament to Adam again, being such a good teammate. As someone that has had my ass pushed up a hill during a Spartan race, granted, it was a mountain, not a hill, okay? So, but whatever it takes for the team to win, Adam stayed behind Veronica, literally pushing her up the hill until she was at the top. And it helped their team tremendously. Like, it was a big thing.
Great teamwork by Adam, but I'm getting the lowlights out of the way. Hell yeah, Adam. Just want to note that. Okay. Tina's team, though. Steve and Keeflo were just really trucking it. Cam did her job. And then, I mean, I don't really know what their strategy was other than, like, what was their strategy?
I think Derek just killed it.
Yes.
And that's what everyone was saying. I couldn't really tell it too much while I was watching.
He collected the vast majority of their water quickly and was stuffing okay. It in the dirt. Like, he did most of the work there and was doing it quickly.
Love that. I mean, we've been waiting for this since, like, our preseason preview for Derek to actually do something well. I like Derek, so I'm happy about that.
Y'all were hyping him up preseason. I was nervous he was not going to do well. So y'all are vindicated here.
I think we were comparatively hyping him up.
No, I'm not upset about it. Like, you guys are right. I my foot's in my mouth.
No, he still hasn't done enough for me. Like, he's had some really bad showings this season too. So I'm not, this isn't the end all be all.
I did find it funny that people were like, he's a threat in the final. Like, we got to look out for him. I'm like, these have to be confessionals from later on in the season. This can't be from this daily. But regardless, I was happy for him. And Ryan was on this team, correct?
No, he was on a different team.
Okay, sorry.
I will say, if you watch Brad and then watch Jarek, you're like, yeah, that guy's the threat in the final. So, Ryan's team goes, and it's, I think they were at the end, or they might have been before, whatever. It's the Brandon, Ryan, Laurel, Flora, Avery team. They have a decent performance, but Ryan accidentally forgets to put one of their things of water in the jar because he just kept it in his breast pocket before they ended their time. We then got a scene between a little thing where, like, Laurel's, like, kind of being like, this is why you don't panic, this is why you don't freak out, in a very, like, kind of aggressive manner to Ryan. And I don't know if you've been looking at social media lately. An old clip interview kind of came about where Ryan really doesn't like Laurel, and I feel like there's some tension going on here between them.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement. Just up based off things that, like, have come to light recently as far as, like, old tweets and videos. So, yeah, just really interesting. It all stems back to Ryan not liking Laurel since she went after Paula on whatever season that was. Like, he has been pretty adamantly against her. So for her to, like, be lecturing him on keeping your cool after his disdain for her stems from her losing her cool is really interesting. And it's not like she's, like, got her cool together in recent years. Like, if anything, it's just stayed the same or possibly gotten worse in some instances.
I think she keeps a pretty cool head in competition, though.
Fair, completely.
It's in her social interactions, she's completely unhinged.
For sure, but I will say I am not a fan of Ryan, but, like, he made a mistake. I don't think it's that he lost his cool. It's just like, oh, I was unaware that I had one of these in my shirt because I was going down 35 miles per hour.
She was being condescending.
Yeah, the damage was done.
Yeah, she was summing up, like, his entire challenge career in this moment by being like, you always freak out. This is why you don't freak out. This is why you stay calm. And it's like, okay, easier said than done. That's not everybody. Some people are just kind of erratic.
And like we said with Nicole, it's a guy's day.
Yeah, it was really condescending the way that she was talking to him. I don't think it was productive. I think maybe, I mean, if I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, she was thinking she was being helpful, like giving him some sort of pep talk, but that's not how I would have taken it.
For sure.
I'm a historic Ryan hater. I really dislike Ryan. And when he left the little pouch of water in his thing, I was like, oh, of course you did, Ryan. This is classic Ryan. Of course, your team loses because you couldn't do that. But then when Laurel talked to him, I was like, let's not overreact a bit. That was, like, just a truly human error.
It's weird. I don't know how you don't feel that big plastic bag inside your shirt, but, I mean, it is what it is.
The team with the clearest strategy out of them all was a team of Jay, Ace, Kara, Adam, and Veronica, where they were just like, we're going to literally stop our carts right before the water. We're going to make sure we get every single pouch, no matter how long it takes, and we're going to fill up as much water as we can.
And they had even an order in which they were doing it. Like, the person who went first got the last set of bags, the person who went second got the second to last, and whatever, worked their way back. So that they knew which one to stop at, so they didn't all get stuck behind each other. They did end up taking significantly longer than some of the other teams,
but
they had way more water in their canister at the end.
Mm-hmm, without a doubt.
Yeah. And this is where the commentary helps, where, like, I saw their amount of liquid. It's like, oh, they're a clear winner. But then everyone's like, okay, but they took an hour. They took a long amount of time. And that's where I appreciate the confessionals. TJ then gives the results. The winning team is the team with Kifla, Steve, Derek, Tina, and Cam. And big win for Derek, specifically because, I mean, he's the guy who was the star. But importantly, it puts Steve and Kifla stars in safety, meaning Adam is the only one that can get taken on the men's side. That's just a nice little wrinkle in the game. Love that for them. And then the middle group was the team with Kara, Jay, Ace, Adam, and Veronica. So they also avoid elimination, and then their votes are the one in power. I believe we're down to two people now in the game who have never finished in the bottom group. Actually, three. No, two to two. Cam and Jay. So
our two biggest all-stars. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Like, Cam is just a beast. And we've said Jay's killing it.
I mean, it does. It, when you think about, like, baseline all-around competency, it kind of makes sense within this cast. I'm not willing to give Jay all the flowers yet, but based on what we've seen from him this season and the strength of this male cast, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's also luck, depending on what team you've been on some of these weird challenges.
Yeah, like, someone could have got Brad this week and just been taken down. I will say, at this point, you said the two biggest All-Stars. Those are the two people I would say everyone was most upset were on All-Stars. Right. Jay, because he's Jay, and Cam, because she's from Are You the One, and people are like, this is the OG show.
Right. Which, again, I mean, I would like for it to be the OG show. Don't get me wrong. But I think we've got to come to terms that it's not. Maybe not. I'm thinking too much of, like, speculation for All-Stars. But, like, that's not great. But, like, we talked about this, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Cam is an All-Star. Like, I'm sorry about it. She is.
It's called the Challenge All-Stars. That's it.
Yeah.
Period.
So, coming out of the Daily Challenge, you guys want to go into politics immediately or some drama?
Let's go into some drama.
All right. Yet again, we are here to talk about Laurel and Nicole, which was a thing throughout the episode. We see them horseplaying and rolling over each other. We see Laurel getting in Nicole's bed, and then we have scenes after that are just painfully awkward to watch.
Yeah, the, like, flirting with the, like, cast commenting on it in the beginning before the Daily Challenge was, like, cringy. And I think we all were Veronica watching, and we're just like, this is toxic and this is insane, but who's going to stop it? Nobody.
Kara peeped her head out of her bed and was like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? And honestly, one of the first standout moments from Flora, in my opinion, was her talking to Nicole like an adult and saying, you like this. Like, you don't want this to stop. You like this. You like this attention. Nicole's like, no. And she's like, I'm not putting up with this shit. You like this.
And then Nicole's like, yeah, attention's nice. Literally says the words, attention's nice. She must have been talking a lot of shit about Laurel even throughout this, because Flora is very adamantly telling her, you're leading her on. This isn't fair. You say one thing and then act a different way. Like, but the editing around it was really weird, because that scene where they get into bed together, and thank God for terrible night vision cameras, because I didn't want to see that at all. Poor Jay. Right. Never thought that phrase would come out of my mouth. But, like, I felt so bad for Jay and his ineffective earplugs in this episode. But that happens. They canoodle all night. And then, like, the next conversation with them is this conversation they're having in their challenge gear. So it was definitely not from the same time period. Like, it was, like, bouncing around. And Nicole's talking about how they need to set a boundary, and telling Laurel, don't just come into my bed. And I was just like,
I have a different take than maybe Ooh. You. I thought that was really big. Like, I don't think Nicole can control her actions. Like, I think if Laurel... You might realize I'm so serious. Nicole is not intelligent. We know this. I think this was the first intelligent moment where she was like, this is going to hinder my game. I need to just use my words. Laurel complains she doesn't use her words. This is Nicole for the first time using her words to say, we need a boundary. Like, you can't just come in my bed. And Laurel, I hate to say it, I'm not going to try to, like, go out on a limb here, but Laurel kept saying, you don't mean this. You don't mean this. And I didn't like that. Like, if someone tells you something, whether you think they mean it or not, like, you have to take their words for face value. Absolutely, her actions say otherwise. But are her actions prompted by you coming into her bedroom? Like, I'm not saying it's non-consensual. I'm not saying that. Like, they definitely consented and canoodled all night. But, like, I think Nicole, when she's in that moment, can't say, this isn't good for me. I'm serious, though. I think it would be wrong to undermine her despite us not liking her.
No, I'm making the face that any human can't just say no in the moment. That's the face.
Oh, and again, I'm not saying that she doesn't want to. I think she definitely wants to, and it's great. But I think she knows what the aftermath will be of them doing that consensual act.
This is where I think the editing is weird, though, because I don't, that conversation seemed to be from a different time. Mm-hmm. And so I was confused about that, because them being in their uniforms when no other part of this interaction was like post-daily challenge was confusing to me. And it felt like it was coming from a different time. And I'm all for like setting a boundary, but was it immediately after? Was the day after they hooked up? Because that's, it's just highlighting the toxicity of this relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Like Nicole clearly is stating she actually doesn't care about Laurel and doesn't like her very much. And Laurel is desperate for her attention and is willing to like sacrifice her dignity and give her any sort of physical affection or attention in order to try to gain her emotional attention as well.
Well,
and Nicole doesn't have the emotional depth for that.
Well, and I agree. And I think that this also could be a ploy to get Laurel even more invested in her. Like, so I get what you're saying. I'm not saying that like we can't roll our eyes at her. I think it was big for her to set that boundary, but did she have hidden intentions behind it? There's a good chance. I mean, Nicole is manipulative.
Yeah, I just feel like there was a piece I was missing. I don't think either of them are innocent in this.
Right.
I just feel like the timing of it was strange. And is she doing it, like, to hurt her?
Right. And to be fair, this is why Nicole was even cast on the season. Like, it's not because they think she's an all-star. It's because Laurel's there. And Nicole could take off 4 weeks from being a firefighter or whatever she is to do this. And they wanted this to happen. So it's a little... It's very weird, just on all fronts. I will say after this conversation, Laurel goes to her sister to, you know, kind of get some relief. She goes to Kara, and Avery's there too, just rubbing Laurel's arm. Thought that was a sweet moment.
It was a sweet moment. And I was watching it, and I was like, Kara's being such a good friend right now. Because something I've learned as I've grown up is... you can give someone all the good advice in the world, but sometimes they don't want your good advice. They just need your support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially knowing who Laurel is and how she reacts to certain information, telling her what you think she should do is not going to end well. So just by like, Kara's just genuinely like empathizing with her and listening to her. And I think it's also something that people haven't really done for Kara on this show very often. It was a very gracious, mature moment. And especially like knowing what we know in the trailers and previews that we've seen. I am so prepared to not be Team Laurel in the future.
It's one of those things I talked about last week, not seeing the reconciliation of Laurel and Cam, but like years past. I would argue that not seeing the reconciliation of Cam and Laurel sucks, but that there probably wasn't one anyways. Like, their last showing, they were at each other's throats. Laurel has tweeted about Kara and Polly both for the past several years, has made Instagram stories that were really, like, really bad about Kara. But I think Kara remembers the times that Laurel has stuck up for her, even when they were at odds on seasons 10 years ago. And there is that weird, really messed up sisterhood that they have. And I was happy to see Kara do it. Like, I hate that I'm so pro-Kara this season, because if I were doing this podcast, World of Worlds 2, I probably would have been on her side because she's on Ashley's side, but she was annoying. Like, she was, and I'm really finding her endearing.
I agree.
It was a great scene. They have that bond. I mean, there is something special between them. There's just, it's the most layered relationship to ever explain. I was trying to explain it to my girlfriend recently, and she was just like, it took too many turns. She was like, I was like, yeah, we're only 7 years into this relationship too. Like, it keeps going back and forth, and it's a pendulum that keeps swinging. Some really interesting details got dropped though, I think, within this episode about Laurel and Nicole's breakup, such as like Laurel changing her number at one point, just to completely avoid Nicole. And then Nicole just kind of very quietly dropped the fact that she ended engagement before coming onto this season, which it was ended because she cheats on her partners. There's just so much mess that's going on, and I get why we're seeing it every week.
Yeah, like, did she have to change her number? Was it necessary, or was she being dramatic?
Because my thing is, and I'm not trying to fault Laurel, because like these things really do happen with people. But like, if Nicole was blowing her phone up so much you had to change her number, again, I would be avoiding her like the plague in this house. No questions asked.
I feel like we need like an expert on lesbian relationships to come on this podcast and really break it down for us, because there's definitely elements of this relationship that I cannot understand, but I bet you there's someone out there that can articulate it better than us.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think Nicole, I'm sorry, this is out of left field. Do you think Nicole even likes Laurel? Because when they're flirting and they're having these moments where they're literally on top of each other, Nicole, sometimes her brain doesn't even seem like she's fully there with Laurel, or she's just trying to come up with something to say. But like, it's not like something she's trying to say to Laurel. It's something that she thinks Laurel will like, and it'll be the most basic thing ever. Like just a generic comment of like, oh, you're so hot type stuff. It does not seem like a real connection at all.
I think, without trying to psychoanalyze, because I don't know, but I think Nicole is one of the most insecure people we've ever seen on the show, just based off her reactions and how she talks and treats women. And like, she would literally hook up with anybody, which I'm not faulting for that. Do your thing. If you're single, go for it. But it just seems like she really likes that Laurel likes her more than she likes Laurel. And I'm not saying Laurel's not an attractive, beautiful, great person in some respects. But yeah.
I think Nicole is just that insecure archetype of a person that truly is incapable of having genuine feelings for people until Nicole learns to actually like herself. I don't think that she will be able to have a genuine connection with anyone, because just the way that she operates in these romantic relationships is just attention-seeking behavior. It is literally just, how can I get attention from anyone? And then even if I have everything I want in my partner and they're giving me everything I need, I still need attention. So I'm going to go get it from XYZ person over here.
Absolutely. And I don't even think this is us stepping out on a ledge, because I think this is verified by her talking to Flora about not wanting to be with Laurel. She wanted attention in that respect too. It wasn't sexual attention. It was just for people to be talking about her, analyzing her relationship, telling her what to do. Like, she needed to be the center of Flora's conversation. Flora just did not give a shit, which I loved. But yeah, she's pretty grimy.
And I think we all have known someone in our real lives who's the same way. Like, they could have the best partner in the entire world, and they're still, at the very least, emotionally cheating on them by texting three other people or Snapchatting three other people, or like five people, 10 people, because they're so unhappy on the inside and so insecure on the inside. They have to get that attention elsewhere.
Yeah. Thoughts, Alan? Our resident psychologist?
No. I mean, I completely agree. And sorry to those at home if that may have hit you inside. Okay. Laurel and Nicole segment. Finally done. We're over that mountain now. We had a vote for the elimination, and it was, I think, pretty cut and dry. Kara was coming back to get Leroy via cam and going to vote in Brandon for last week. And the whole house completely agreed with that idea, except everyone voted Leroy and Brandon, except for Jay, who was like, I'm friends with Brandon, I'm going to throw my vote on someone, which, hey, good loyalty.
When did Jay and Brandon meet?
2 weeks ago.
The week before in deliberation, matter of fact.
That part was funny to me, because I was like, if anyone, there's someone on this cast he's known, but whatever.
Right, and he could have just said, Brandon, I voted you for the same reason last week in deliberation you voted Kara. I think you're a threat. But whatever.
It is what it is.
I'm glad he's able to stand on a limb. It's not a very big limb, but good for him, man. Brandon and Leroy going in. They're both emotionally preparing. Leroy talks about his son Kingston, talks about a lot of stuff. And then we have Brandon. We get a little scene with him. Talking on FaceTime with his kid, and he said he's in Wakanda right now, which he's like, I kind of am doing superhero stuff anyway, and I thought it was just really cute to see.
Yeah. It was so sweet. His daughter was so cute.
Brandon's just a cool dude. He's very easy to root for. There's nothing really to dislike with him. He's just a nice guy.
He and Leroy have very similar vibes to me. Like, they're the kind of guy that everyone can get along with.
Now, we get to the Elimination Arena, and it is very reminiscent. The elimination itself, it's reminiscent to a Survivor-type puzzle where players have to hold on to a board with balls on it, run the balls through a maze, and get them into five different placements. And the twist is they have to do it while suspended in air. So
like little marionettes with their puzzle, maze yeah. puzzle underneath them.
What song did they play during this?
Oh, I didn't write it down.
Well, what's that like boy band, 90s boy band song where they actually are like marionettes?
Oh, No Strings Attached.
Yeah, I wish they would have played that.
Oh, yeah, that would have been the move.
That would have been a good one. Derek chose not to volunteer for the elimination because, I mean, obviously he didn't want to face either Leroy or Brandon, but he did acknowledge, like, at some point here, he's going to have to find a way to go into the right elimination, which is going to be, like, one of those things that's going to be on a rush because you have to remember, All-Stars has never been more than 10 episodes, so we're already kind of getting close to there. Even though the season still feels so new, there aren't going to be a lot of chances to get stars, even if the next 4 weeks are both guy-girl eliminations same day. Like, that's just four more chances, and then boom, yeah. Final.
I actually feel like his best option is to probably wait it out until a guy that already has a star gets another star and gives it to him just because they feel like he's beatable. I don't know.
Yeah, that's where the social relationships could come into play.
People. Even a woman. Like, yeah, because he seems very intertwined with this entire cast.
I mean, there's going to be a... Oh. Go for it.
No, I was just, it's going to be really interesting because I think they're intentionally avoiding these lopsided sort of eliminations just so that anyone truly can win. But at the same time, if you have a certain skill set, these eliminations feel really like a gamble. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a point in the game too where people are going to start throwing the challenges because it's their only chance to get into elimination for that star, which is going to be very interesting to see. Like, if you throw a challenge, will people still vote you in because they're going to be mad at you because you're throwing the challenge. I did like this elimination, though, because as much confidence as I have, as much respect as I have for Brandon, if it was physical, Leroy was going to beat him, I think. Whether it was a pole wrestle, a hall brawl, anything like that. Like, Brandon's a beast, but Leroy is just a different creature.
He's a different creature and has a significant amount of size on him. Like, there's a significant height difference there.
So, elimination, it's pretty good. Brandon seemed to have a more clear strategy and had a really big lead early on. I think, was it 2-0, 3-0 at first?
I mean, yeah, I thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
Whole crowd, yeah.
I can't remember if it was 2 or 3-0. I will say, though, I feel like the editing on this elimination was really wonky because there was, like, sometimes where... Like, at one point, I think it was Brandon specifically when he had it was Leroy. He had the 3 balls in, and then it, like, flashed, and there was, like, 3 back in the start, and then there was 2 in the center circle, and I was like, this is really inconsistent, really crappy editing. But, so, it kind of made it hard for me to watch, because I felt like I didn't really, even if I knew the score, it wasn't really showing me what happened.
Right.
This is where the challenges need to make something a little bit different can, like, make it just tougher to watch. Where on Survivor, when they have those puzzles, you could see both their bodies and the puzzles at all times and the ball rolling through. Because of the way they filmed it, even though it was cool to have them suspended in air, it was just tougher to visually see everything going on because you're like, okay, do I get their face? Do I get the puzzle view? Where do I get this from?
You can't get both of them together at the same time.
Yeah. They tried to make it cooler and it just made it tougher for us to watch and really not know what's going on. But it did visually look cool when they were both suspended up like that.
No, it's an interesting wrinkle too. And it's more about endurance than it appears. Cause it's really weighing on your muscles the entire time. Cause you're holding this really heavy maze up.
Leroy, I mean, especially at the beginning of that elimination, was just literally just trying to hop his balls across the menu. And I'm not gonna lie, they were making some movements there, and I was like, maybe it'll work.
Well, I was just going to say, have you guys ever seen some of, like, the Minute to Win It challenges?
Yes.
So
yes.
About the one where you put the ping pong balls inside the tissue box and you put it around your waist and you have to shake it out. I was like, that was Leroy with the maze. He's just trying to shake it into the middle. And I was like, hey, you never know.
Yeah.
That's the summer camp counselor in me coming out. Sorry.
No, I love that. I've played a bunch of those Minute to Win It games, and I'm so bad at them, and they always frustrate me. So, like, I completely get what you're saying. Like, sometimes you're like, all right, I'm going to try and go for this method, and we're just going to go for the win. That was Leroy.
Now it just has me, like, wishing they would do, like, the Oreo one, where you start with the Oreo in the middle of your forehead, you have to get into your mouth, and that's the elimination. Like, that would be the funniest thing ever.
That would be 1,000 times better than when we got between Cara and Rachel 2 weeks ago.
Anyway.
Too much. Yeah.
The ball rolls in for Leroy, though. He gets the elimination win. It's a close pass. As close as you get if you're Brandon. I'm not going to say I'm happy because, I mean, I'm glad that Leroy's still in the game, but I feel like there was more of a story with Brandon left in this season compared to other people who were left on this show.
Yeah, it kind of felt like a lose-lose elimination going into it. In a way, just because they're two of the more interesting males on the show. I mean, like, what has Ace done this season? Other Nothing. Than, like, mildly, like, correct Ayana in that deliberation.
Right. Well, and even Kara had said, like, Brandon probably could have ended up working with her had he come back if Leroy left, because that's a number from him gone. It would have been really interesting. I would have hated that for Cam because, you know, new mother, that'd be really hard. But yeah, lose-lose. And I really just was happy to see Brandon back. Like, of course, happy to see Leroy back as well, but we saw him double agents. It wasn't that far ago. I wanted more Brandon.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some in the future.
I just didn't want either to leave when I think about it. That's really all it comes down to. Because I want to see Cam and Leroy operate for a couple more weeks, at least, you know, together. I think it's too early. I don't want to see them split up just yet. I want to see how the game evolves, especially with them, you know, being in the house.
And, like, I care about them both as people, and I really don't want to see one leave just because I know that will be really genuinely hard on the other person. I think even more so if Leroy were to leave before Cam, I think that would be a lot harder. Mm-hmm. So I really don't want that to happen.
I don't want it to happen either. Thankfully, it didn't. Not thankfully. I'm sad for Ben. So Leroy, though, he gets a star. And he can steal from a woman and give it to Cam. TJ jokes, is there anyone there you like? He's a little like, yeah, she's got to go get her own star, though. Ask Adam very cutely, like, Adam, if I take your star, do you promise that you're not going to, you know, take it back? Adam, no. Leroy said, well, I'm going to take it anyway. So, boom, take the star. A lot of laughs. Adam takes it in good stride, which, important to note, not Leroy has a star, but Cara Maria, only person to get a star from day one and still have it at this point.
Star Maria.
Oh. I hate that.
You're welcome.
No, but it's legit, like, both with her performance and her fear factor that she puts into people, it's impressive. Will she be able to hold on to it until the very end?
That's going to be tough, because, I mean, she's public enemy number one. Literally everyone is after Cara Maria. And yet, as we say, still is the only person still with her stars. So she's doing something right. She's doing good for her. Also, just back to Adam as well, like, he took it such good positivity, and I feel pretty confident that Adam will get a star back at some point, because I just think he's such a good competitor. Like, he's just, he feels like one of the actual threats to win on the male side. I think he's the only threat to win on the male side of this cast left, because all the other men are just either underwhelming me or just have some big flaw.
Jace is eating,
but also, like, he has, like, no big strengths either, you know.
But he hasn't been in the bottom yet, Alan.
No, you're right.
You're right. I would still put Leroy and Brad both above him.
I'm out on both of them. I'm honestly, I like, look.
Fair. I mean, it's personal opinion. Like, yeah. It's not fact. So. I just said, like I'm going to disagree and that's okay. Yeah. But like, I think we saw Brad last season. I think when Brad's solo and in a final, I'm giving it to him over Adam.
I've just seen Brad lose enough times in his life that I just know that Brad chokes in these big moments. And like, if he's mentally like has to do puzzles and stuff like that, I don't eat, because he couldn't eat last year either. So
I don't know if I'd call losing to West choking.
Yeah. Like, All-Stars 3 was his standout season, in my opinion, and he's won a season before. Like, he had a great showing. West was just, like, in crazy shape, ready for anything. Listen, Adam could change my mind. I've just not seen enough from him. I mean, just last week we were critiquing him for flailing about, unraveling ropes. So, like, we can't say that he doesn't melt down either. Would I like to see him win for the men? Or period? Sure.
Not period. I want to see a woman win. But, like, the lack of experience is a concern for me on Adam's part when it comes to, like, a final. I think it's a total toss-up. I'm not going to pretend, like, I've got the Vegas odds on this, because I don't. But, Alan, you do this for a living, so.
I've just given up on Brad, because I had so much belief in him, and it's one of those things where, like, belief over the years has just really just crushed me, because I've seen him just. So many seasons where he's just done so well and then just loses at the end, and somehow I just think it's like.
I think he needs his good luck charm back.
Brittany?
Nope.
The person that's won two championships.
She seems very happy with that. I know you're joking, but.
Hey, an exit season would be wild. Just saying.
Anything else before?
I was just going to say, this is so inconsequential, because before we started filming this, we talked about the scenes from next week. We can't remember much except for more Laurel and Nicole stuff. So just brace yourself for this bumpy ride. Make sure your pants are buckled and you got a belt on, because it's going to get crazy.
Really good to get the ick, guys.
Yeah, it's gross.
Anything else before we wrap up? All right. Well, we'll send you off. Have a great weekend, everyone. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube here, wherever you get the podcast. Have a great weekend.